Good morning. Never a dull moment at Grace Bible Church. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to finish our series today that we started from the 11th verse of Romans chapter 1, where Paul said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." And we made reference, we mentioned that, according to Ephesians 1:3, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. There are no spiritual gifts today, okay? But when this was written, spiritual gifts were the norm. Spiritual gifts were in full operation. They weren't sitting there with a Bible in their lap with the full and the complete revelation of the mind of God so that they could look in a book and see what God is saying. In those days, they needed somebody to hear from God and then speak God's message. That's how the early church came into existence. That's how the early church was founded. The apostles and the prophets, according to Ephesians chapter 2, were the foundation of the body of Christ. But like anything that has a foundation, whether you're building a house, if you build a foundation, the men who come and lay the foundation, when they're done their job, they leave. They're not needed anymore. Then the builders come in, the framers, the cabinet guys, the sheetrockers, the roofers, they'll come. But the foundation guys, they're gone. They're no longer necessary to build that edifice. And that's what, in the early days of the church, that's what the gifts were for. They were to lay the foundation that once the full revelation of the Word of God was complete, then we came along, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and now we build upon the foundation that those men laid, but they're not needed anymore. That's why there are no apostles today. You know, you hear about apostles so-and-so. There's no apostles today. Apostles laid the foundation, and when they were done, that was it. The apostles and prophets are like the first hill on a roller coaster. There's a chain on that first hill that grabs onto the cart and brings you up the roller coaster. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody been on a roller coaster? Been on a roll, right? Okay, well, that first chain brings you up. That's like the apostles and prophets. They brought the church up to the pinnacle of that first one, and then once it went over, it just goes by itself. But the chain is only needed to get it going. The apostles and prophets were only needed to get it going. Once they were done, that was it. It was all over. But during these days, the days that we're looking at right now, as this was being written, the prevailing conditions in those days required these gifts. Now, that created some very interesting problems in those days. Now, you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice that the Apostle Paul says, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." Now, whenever the Apostle Paul uses the words, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren," it's because people were ignorant. Now, you need to understand, okay, and I'm going to say this at the very beginning of this message. Ignorance is not stupidity. Ignorant is not being a moron, okay? Ignorant just means there's something you don't know. You know, when I first got a computer, I was ignorant of computers. Matter of fact, my first computer almost hit the deck through the window because I was ignorant of computers. But I'm not that stupid. You know, I'm not a stupid man. I'm not that smart, but I'm not that stupid. But ignorance just means you're ignorant of a certain thing. It doesn't mean you're a stupid person. And that's a very important distinction to make. Because many people today are ignorant of what God is doing in the world. But they're not stupid by any means. Many of them are educated. Very intelligent. College graduates. Doctors, lawyers, professors, architects. People like you who have regular jobs that require you to be smart and know a lot of detailed technical information. But yet can be ignorant of certain things. Like, I don't know anything about architecture. I'm ignorant of that. But I know how to sell. I know how to close sales. So now Paul, notice he says that ye were Gentiles. He's writing to a Gentile church in Corinth. And there are many, many problems in the church at Corinth. Many problems. And some of their problems are associated with and linked to their idolatrous past. They were in idolatry. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians 12:2. You were carried away unto these dumb... Now, the word dumb doesn't mean stupid. Dumb means, like if somebody is deaf, dumb, and blind, it doesn't mean they're stupid. It means that they don't hear, they don't see, they're dumb in that way. And that's what those idols were. They don't see, they don't speak, they don't talk, they don't respond. They're dumb idols. And yet, these people had been caught up in worshiping idols that don't speak, that don't talk, that can't do anything for them. So he tells them there in verse 2 that they were carried away unto these dumb idols. Now, I want you to notice this map, because who is the Apostle Paul speaking to? Well, let me show you. Corinth is right there. That, on that isthmus right there, that's Corinth. Now, the Apostle Paul, Antioch is right here where they were first called Christians. And the Apostle Paul, by this time, has already taken a couple of missionary journeys. And wherever Paul went, he left churches behind him. He left churches over here, over here, over here, over here, over here, out here in Galatia, Pontus, up here in Philippi and Thessalonica. And he left churches all over these areas. For 14 years after Paul was saved, the 12 apostles of Christ stayed right there in Jerusalem, and they never moved. It was Paul who was going out here and establishing all these Grace Bible churches. And he would be thrilled to know that we are Grace Bible Church of Connecticut. He would be thrilled to know that, because he was the apostle of grace. Well, the thing is this. As Paul is preaching the gospel and getting all these people saved, all these people were in all these idolatrous things. They were all into idolatry. All of them. And different language here, different language here, different language, different language, different language, different language, all different languages. Now, in these days, the main source of finance, and if there were a stock market today, back then it would have been based on the ship routes. It would have been based on, okay, everything, like if somebody sailed out here, and they wanted to go to Rome. Rome is the one that looks like the boot, okay? That's how you recognize Rome. Antioch, over here, is the one that looks like a church cathedral. That's where they were first called Christians, right there, by the way. See that little church cathedral there on the map? I just saw that yesterday. I said, hey, that looks like a church cathedral, doesn't it? But here's what would happen. People over here in these churches, these new Christians, they're sailors by trade. That's their life. That was the main occupation of those days, was working on ships and taking cargo back and forth across the world. Well, when somebody sailed out of the Aegean Sea over here, no matter what port they were in, they would come here and they would sail to Corinth. They would unload their ships. This isthmus is exactly 1 mile, still there today, just like it was back then. They would unload their ships, bring their cargo over by camels or mules to this side, reload the ship, sail out of here, and then come over to Rome wherever they wanted to go. Rather than sail all the way around here, which would have taken 3-4 weeks, they sailed into here, boom, 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 and they were done. That's why Corinth was such a place of confusion, because all these people who now had become Christians landed in Corinth, and the first thing they did is, where's the local church? Okay, and they come out of all these idolatrous pasts. They're all speaking different languages. And there's already in Corinth over 800,000 residents. 800,000 in Corinth. Okay, so you can just imagine if this morning people from Italy were sitting over there, and people from France were sitting over there, which they are, and people from Germany and Spain were sitting over here, and Frenchmen over here, and Latins over there, all in this one group, okay, and we don't have a Bible. What kind of an atmosphere do you think that would create? Well, it would be pretty exciting, because we all trusted in Jesus Christ. The only problem is we don't understand each other. We don't understand one thing we're saying. And so in those days, the gifts were in full operation. They were necessary. They were needed, all right? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, when he says that they were carried away, when they, the thought of being carried away is exactly what it means. Being carried away. You've seen those programs on TV that like show you Satan worshipers in Haiti. You've seen that, right? On those documentaries. I mean, it's on all the channels at one time. Has anybody ever seen anything like that? Okay. Well, when you see them, they are completely out of control. They're rolling around on the floor. They're jumping up and down for long periods of time for absolutely no reason. They even speak in tongues. Satan worshipers speak in tongues. Okay? And the sad thing is this, that I have seen that same exact behavior in so-called Christian churches. Personally, with my own eyes, and so did you. And so did you. And I don't know if you did. Okay? People jumping around, jumping over pews, banging their heads, passing out, rolling around on the floor, and they call that Christian behavior. You know that the only time in the Word of God that you see someone rolling around on the ground is that boy who was possessed by a demon. And the father turns to Christ and says, "That's my son. Please deliver him." Remember it? I'll show you it. Luke chapter 9. And it came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, "Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. The devil threw him down and tore him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father." When you see someone rolling around completely out of control, you don't attribute that to the Holy Spirit. When you see people barking like dogs and making animal sounds and saying that the Holy Spirit led them to do that, you know you're talking to a group of very deceived people. When the devil was gone out of him, he returned to normal. He returned to normal. But the behavior that he displayed while he was under the influence of Satan was exactly as you'll see on TV when Benny Hinn pushes someone and they fall on the floor and they squirm around like a snake, like a serpent. Who do you think is responsible for making people imitate snakes and serpents? You think the Holy Spirit is doing that? I mean, seriously. I mean, think of the spectacles that you've seen on TV in the name of God. Auditoriums. Large auditoriums filled with people who have real medical problems. Real medical problems. Do they ever get healed? Are there ever any public testimonies of a paraplegic in a wheelchair getting healed? Not one. Never. Never. You know, the advances in technology today have it so that those places are just littered with TV cameras. Big old booms in those places with cameras all over the place, hoping that a miracle is going to take place that they can record on TV. And in over 20 years of TV showmanship, not one miracle has ever been recorded. Not one verifiable healing of someone who really needed it was ever recorded. Now, there's a lot of, oh, the bump left. Oh, my back isn't hurting right now. Oh, the arthritis is gone. I can move my fingers. There's a lot of that. All unverifiable, but no miracles. You know why? Because miracles were a sign to Israel. That's why. You know, I'm going to tell you this. It's time for America to wake up. It's time to open their eyes and smell the religious coffee, so to speak, and look at what they're being sold. They're being sold a bill of goods. It's time for America to stop being fleeced and manipulated and deceived by TV evangelists, because that's what they're doing. I mean, all you have to do is open your eyes and look around and you will see that those guys who are supposedly doing these things are nothing but a bunch of phonies. You will see it. If you are honest with the Scriptures and the Word of God, you will see that. They only have one thing in mind, the almighty dollar. That's what they've got in mind. I heard an interview the other night with Benny Hinn, and he said that the money that he collects in his healing meetings, which is approximately $100 million a year, okay, $100 million a year, he says that he uses it to spread the message of healing throughout the world. That's what he said. Now let me ask you this. Where in the Word of God do you find that God has ever told anyone to go out and spread the message of healing? You never found that in the Word of God. You'll never find a command in the Word of God that says, go forth and spread the message of healing. You won't find that. When the apostles of Christ went forth in what is called the Great Commission, they didn't go out with the message of healing. That's not what they did. Healing was a sign during those days that God was speaking through those men. They weren't preaching healing. That's not what they were preaching. They were healing as a result of what they were preaching. God was healing to confirm the word that they were speaking. In other words, when a miracle took place in the Bible, it was God telling those who were watching, that was me. My authority is in those men. You can listen to them with confidence. You see that? So signs always followed the ministry of the spoken word in the Word of God when there was no Bible present. Signs don't follow these ministries today because God is not proving to Israel that Jesus Christ was their Messiah like he was back then. God has spoken to us Gentiles, and we have the final revelation of the Word of God. You have it in front of you today, and you have it, by the way, it's in your King James Bible. Let me ask you this. Does the Bible say that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance? Yes, it does. The Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That means that if God gives somebody a gift, he won't repent from it. He'll never take it away from that person if he does that. Okay? Now, if God had really given Oral Roberts the gift of healing all those years ago, I remember I was just a kid. The first time, and I can still remember this because it had struck me back then. I'm telling you, I don't even know if I really understood how to speak yet. That's how young I was. But I'll never forget watching the TV screen and seeing a crutch come over this curtain. I'll never forget that. It was Oral Roberts on TV, and a crutch came over this curtain. He was behind the curtain with someone, and the crutch came over, and then they both walked out. And I remember that. Now, if God really had given the gift of healing to Oral Roberts, don't you find it interesting that a so-called faith healer stopped his ministry and built one of the largest hospitals in Oklahoma? That's what he did. I mean, do you ever wonder about that? Wouldn't it make sense if a faith healer walked around hospitals and healed people? That would make sense, right? But to build a hospital and not walk around and heal them, isn't that just admitting that your gift of healing doesn't work? Isn't that just an admittance of that? Well, sure it is. Listen, I wish that I could go up to someone who's sick and lay hands on them and they would recover. I'll never forget when I was first saved. I was probably 2 years in the Lord. And in this church where I went, there was like 800 people. And there was a man in there who had been in a very serious car accident. He was crippled for life from here down. He had a wheelchair and he, you know. And I remember one night I went to Bill's house with a friend. I said, Bill, this book says that you're going to be healed. Now, I believe with all my heart you're going to be healed because that's what this book says. And I believe this book. And if you know me, you know I believe the book, right? So I said, Bill, do you have faith? Yeah, I have faith. Well, I have faith too. Let's pray. And I laid my hands on that guy for about 3-4 minutes. And I prayed and prayed and rebuked the devil and cast out that spirit of whatever, paralyzation. I did all that. Guess what happened? Yeah, nothing. Nothing happened. And you know what? I said to myself, either this book is a lie Oh, there's something I don't understand. And I gave God the benefit of the doubt and says, there's something I don't understand right now. I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand it. But I wanted to find why it didn't work. And it was through things like that that led me to an understanding of the Word of God rightly divided. And understanding the dispensational character of the Bible, that God at certain times in history did certain things, and at other times in history He did not do certain things, and He always had a purpose for it. And some people say, well, God never changes. That's right, God doesn't change. But His dealings with men have changed. But He has always remained the same. He has never changed. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. That's the immutability of God. He cannot change. But when you take a look at something like Benny Hinn on TV, don't you think that if God was doing that today, I mean, don't you agree that God would take the most severe case in the whole place and go, phew, what Benny Hinn is saying is true. See, the thing is this, what Benny Hinn is saying would be true if he were living back in the Gospels. It would be true. Because you see those things happening in the Bible. But he's stealing from what happened to Israel, and he's bringing it into the dispensation of grace without rightly dividing the word of truth. And that is always the problem, isn't it? Now, those faith healers on TV, they always walk around and they're always quoting this verse. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. They always quote that. And if Jesus Christ did that, we're going to go beyond what he did. That's what they say. Greater works than Christ. Okay, let's examine it. Let's examine that. Here's a verse in Luke chapter 6, verse 19. Notice this. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ healed people, he healed them all. And not only that, when he healed them, he made them whole every whit. There wasn't still something wrong with them after they went through the healing ministry of Jesus Christ. They weren't sick with something else. Now, if God was still doing that, but there's been a dispensational change, and that's been the problem with the body of Christ. They don't recognize the dispensational change when they stoned Stephen in Acts chapter 7. God raised up the apostle Paul, gave him the revelation of a secret that had been hidden God, and gave him a brand new body of doctrine for these people who are alive in the dispensation of grace, which is you and me, which is Romans to Philemon, which does not include the earthly ministry and miracles and signs and wonders of what Jesus Christ did in his days with Israel. All this confusion that you're seeing today is what I have termed the Corinthian syndrome. Matter of fact, I termed it that last night. And you know what causes it? Ignorance. Today, there is a revival of the Corinthian syndrome. The confusion that existed in the church at Corinth is alive and well today. Notice how Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, says, I would not have you ignorant. I would not have you ignorant. And unfortunately, the body of Christ at large has remained ignorant concerning spiritual gifts and what they were specifically designed to do when they were in operation. They completely forgot. They don't know. There are some groups today that teach that if you have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you're not saved. You know that they exist, right? Well, they say you have to speak in tongues to be saved. You know that the Bible says just the opposite of that? You know that there's not one verse of Scripture that says that you have to speak in tongues to be saved? Not one. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you just the opposite. Here's a verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And God, now this is in Corinthian church, during the transitional period, when they did not have a Bible in front of them, okay? You always have to remember that that's what was happening then. You know, it always gets me today when I talk to people and they want to bring me to a verse of Scripture that was written for a specific group of people at a specific time and totally disregard the background and what prompted that verse to be written. And God had set some in the church. First, apostles. Yeah, they laid the foundation. They were necessary. Secondarily, prophets. Yeah, apostles and prophets. They laid the foundation. If you want to see that verse, it's in Ephesians chapter 2. Last three verses tells you that they are the foundation for the church. And when the foundation is done, what did they do? We talked about it a while ago. They're done. Okay? Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, listen to these questions. Answer these questions with me, okay? Are all apostles? Come on, I want to hear you. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? What? No, they don't all speak with tongues, do they? Do all interpret? Now, how could somebody say that unless you're baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you're unsaved, when Paul will tell you right here that not everybody speaks in tongues? I mean, now, as we conclude this study in the Corinthian syndrome, I like that name, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. In this verse right here, you'll find the first reason for tongues. If anyone who claims to speak in tongues today would familiarize themselves with this passage of Scripture, they would not speak in tongues anymore. They would not allow farmyard gibberish to come out of their mouths because they'll realize that they cannot fulfill this verse. Notice verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Tongues are for a sign, right? Not for who? They're not for them that believe. When was the last time that you saw someone who thinks they speak in tongues for unbelievers? You never saw it. You never saw that happen. You've always seen tongues in the context of a local church or assembly where believers are present. You have always seen that way. And when that happens, when people burst out into tongues in the midst of an assembly filled with believers, they have violated that verse of Scripture. And who's behind that? If you're violating Scripture, who's not behind it? Let me put it that way. The Holy Spirit's not behind that. See, the Holy Spirit could not make someone violate the Word of God. And yet everyone who does speak in tongues in the local church says that the Holy Spirit led them to do it. Well, I've got some bad news for you. You see, whenever you have two people, both of them can be lying. One of them can be lying, one of them can be telling the truth. But you cannot have both of them telling the truth. You can't have that, because there's only one truth. Truth is not relative. Now, I'll let you figure out who the liar is. Someone's lying. Either the Holy Spirit is lying, or the person who says he's being led by the Holy Spirit is lying. Well, we know it can't be the Holy Spirit. And then, the people who disobey passages of Scripture like this are always the ones who say, oh, don't bother us with doctrine. I'm serious. That's what they say. Don't create division with doctrine, brother. I heard a TV evangelist say that the heretics, which is us, the heretics want to create division with their doctrine. Humbug on that poo doctrine. A TV evangelist said that. Listen, doctrine is what God has given you by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's doctrine right there. Doctrine is what your Christian life is based and built on. Without doctrine, you don't have Christianity. Without doctrine, you don't know about the cross of Christ. You don't know about sanctification, imputed righteousness, glorification. You don't know about forgiveness of sins. Without doctrine, you don't know how to behave in the local assembly. And they say, poo on doctrine. Don't create division with doctrine. Wow. You know, you have large ministries. I mean large ministries out there who base their Christian lives on feelings and emotions, and they push aside the Word of God. You realize that? And that's what Paul said. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't endure it. Why? It doesn't fit in with the emotionalism. You see, because doctrine is based upon truth. And God wants your Christian life based on truth, not emotion, not feelings, on truth. And there's only one place you can find truth. And that's why they handle the word of truth deceitfully. And they corrupt the word of truth. Imagine someone saying, don't divide with doctrine. And then they do something that is unscriptural. And then they say, the Holy Spirit led me to do that. And they violate the very doctrine that the Holy Spirit wrote and told them not to do. And yet they want to blame the Holy Spirit for what they're doing. Talk about confusion. No wonder the body of Christ at large is so confused. If Paul was here today, do you know what he would say to them? He would say, You're still ignorant. I told you I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. That's the largest denomination in the world, by the way, ignorant brethren. They don't want to study their Bibles. Verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? You know, I cannot tell you how many times I saw entire groups of people speak in tongues all at once. Every one of them. Every one of them speaking in tongues. If they knew that this verse was in the Bible, I'm sure they wouldn't do that. Because Paul says, hey, if the church come together and you all speak with tongues, aren't they going to say you're mad? Don't forget, this is the group of people Paul is saying, you're carried away with these dumb idols before. This is your normal behavior. You're used to being confused. You're used to being carried away by these and acting unrationally. And that's who Paul's writing to. A group of people who, first he tells them you're ignorant. He says you're carried away by, and now he says to them, hey, obviously he saw this happening, didn't he? For him to write it. Hey, look, if you all speak in tongues, they're going to say you're mad. And yet that happens all the time today. What was the solution to this problem back then when this was written? Notice how things were supposed to be done when these gifts were in operation. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. And I'm telling you today that everyone who thinks they speak in tongues violates the Word of God. They violate this, because this is not how you've ever seen it done in any church you've been in where they speak in tongues. You've never seen orderly order where one person does it, sits down, another person does it. It has to be at least two. And at the most, three. Can't be more than that. There's the rules right here. You've never seen this done like this. Okay? Now, you know what they were supposed to do if there was no interpreter? Verse 28. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, that's what they were supposed to do back then when the gifts were in operation and they didn't have a Bible in front of them. Now, how much more do you think you should keep silence in the church today when you do have a Bible that God is speaking to you through? You know, people who burst out in these displays of tongues today think that they're demonstrating spirituality. They think, oh man, I'm so spiritual. These people must really think I'm spiritual. That's all it is. It's a show in the flesh. That's all it is, okay? They're demonstrating that really they're children in understanding. And that they're carnal, just like this church Paul was writing to. If they were supposed to keep silent back there, how much more today? Now, who was supposed to be speaking? Verse 29. Paul says, let the prophets speak, two or three, and let the other judge. Now, what did the prophets do? The prophets spoke in plain language. They spoke in languages you could understand. Verse 30. If anything be revealed by another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one. Look, that all may learn. That's the reason for prophecy back then, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Why will all learn? Because they can understand. There's no confusion in what Paul is trying to bring order into this church. He's trying to bring order so there won't be any confusion. The gift of prophecy back then was not the gift of foretelling the future. That's not what that was. It wasn't the gift of, you know, somebody comes up to you on Sunday morning and says, you know, brother, I was praying this past week and God gave me a word for you. Really? God gave you a word for me. If you've been around Christianity any amount of time, this has happened to you. Somebody came up to you like that. I was praying and God spoke to me and gave me a word for you. That's not what this prophecy is about at all. This is about learning. Verse 31 says, for ye may all prophesy one by one. It's not like tongues. Tongues, it was one, two, at the most three. Here he says, all, you can all do it. Why? Because it was teaching. It was the gift of revealing to people the Word of God. That's what it was. It wasn't about something for you. Like I say so many times, they did not have Bibles sitting in their laps like you and I have today. God had to communicate to those people back then, and he had to do it. But when men got involved in it, they got carried away, and it's just human nature, you know, to go to an excessive degree into something that God is doing. But there was order. Verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, you may have been carried away by these dumb idols, but the spirit of the prophet is subject to... You are in control of your spirit, Paul says. Verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. See, that's the characteristic. When the Holy Spirit is doing something, it won't be chaos. It won't be disruption. It won't be people rolling around and jumping over pews and barking like dogs and vomiting even. Yeah, they do that. That's the demon coming out, supposedly. No, when the Holy Spirit is it, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of this. See, Corinth was the one with the problem. All the churches were at peace and doing it the right way. Corinth is where all those people met, like we looked on that map. Today, it is an order and peace that characterizes most churches. It's chaos and manipulation and divisions and confusion. Man, I talk to Christians, and I'm going to tell you, they're confused. They're confused about what they believe. They're confused. They don't know what to believe. And it's because of the pastors that aren't rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I know that people don't like the next verse I'm going to put up. But I'm going to put it up there because it's in the Word of God. And I will just say, if you don't like it, then deal with it. If you don't like it, talk to God about it. Don't talk to me. I didn't write it. Okay? It's a verse that I can tell you, when I was in the Pentecostal church, this verse was hated. I mean, hated. If people could have taken scissors and cut it out of the Bible, they would have cut it out. I'm going to tell you this before I show you the verse. In the church of the dispensation of grace, God uses men to communicate His message. And He has a reason for that. God has never called any woman into the ministry to preach the Word of God. Never. And any time you see a woman in a pulpit, she has violated the Word of God and will be in big trouble when she stands at the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't care how many pairs of scissors they have to try to cut this verse out, but the Bible says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for woman to speak in the church. Like I said, I didn't write it. If you've got problems with it, if you have issues with it, talk to God about it. Because that's who you're going to be standing before, the judgment seat of Christ, not me. All right? And verse 37 says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You see that? Paul says, what I'm writing to you, that's your commandments. So many people today think, I've got a word for you. No, you don't. I've got a word from Paul. That's where my word comes from, Paul, about my Christian life and my relationship with God and how I am to have peace with God. All comes from Paul. And if any man says that he's spiritual, then he better acknowledge that the things that Paul writes are the commandments of the Lord. Romans to Philemon is what Paul wrote for you. But verse 38, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. There are some people you just aren't going to cure this thing. Some people will be ignorant from the time they're saved to the time they die. They'll be ignorant because they don't want to know the truth. There are people who don't want to know the truth. They like their ignorance. They like being in their ignorant state. They like emotionalism. They love the goosebumps. That's all the flesh. That's all the flesh. And then Paul ends this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, with a verse. And every time I have ever discussed the subject of tongues with a person who claims or thinks that they speak in tongues, they always bring me to this verse first. And you know what's amazing? It's the last verse in the chapter. But they always go there first and disregard everything that came before it. In this day when Paul wrote this, I'll say it again before I show you this verse. Because in the prevailing conditions were confusion because God was speaking through men because they did not have the written word of God sitting in front of them. And so Paul says this. He ends the chapter. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Well, why not forbid to speak with? Well, because in those days, that was still going on. But when we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we saw that tongues are apart. And that they will fail, they will cease, when that which is perfect is come. And that which is perfect has come. And so those things that were apart in the body of Christ have been done away with. And today, we use the full revelation of the mind of God in a book we can rely in called the King James Bible, where God has preserved His word for us in the English-speaking world today. Amen? See, I can speak. I always say that, you know, you shouldn't talk about something unless you know it by experience. I've been in those places. I was saved in a charismatic church. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior in the Pentecostal church. Okay, I did. I was taught. The foundation of my Christian life was error. It was a wrong foundation in my Christian life that those people built in my life. But as I studied the Word of God and studied the Word of God and said, Lord, I want to know what you have to say. I want to know what your Word is. Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. And I am a simple man, but it was the entrance of thy word that giveth light. It giveth understanding. It giveth understanding. And that's why today I can stand here and say, they were wrong. Paul is right. What God spoke through Paul to you is right. What Jesus Christ did for Israel in the days of his flesh when he was on earth, if you try to do that today, it's wrong. A lot of preachers would have been better off if they'd been alive back then. They could have preached all their messages just like they do back then. And it would have been perfect. It would have been right. It would have been the dispensational setting for that. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that we could spend in the Word of God. We pray that these truths will be forged upon the tablets of our heart and that we won't be carried away by the dumb idols that we had in our time past of our lives. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.